This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Addy, comedy alive from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. NBA draft is upon us. Tiki and Tierney, what's going on? How are you today? On a Thursday, obviously lots happening. As we get ready for all sorts of scenarios tonight and what should be a wild, wild night. Been waiting for this for a while, Teak.
Yeah,
what's happening, brother?
Welcome back, brother. How are you feeling?
Welcome back.
After your bacchiotomy.
My bacchiotomy. By the way, I don't think I didn't catch that broke back thing. I caught you. I did check that. Let me see on these how
I
these
told
two
Samter,
clowns.
I said, Samter, don't take that the wrong way.
I'm all right, man. You know, honestly, back surgery is no joke. So... definitely a little stiff, and I couldn't take the, I didn't take any medicine, you know, any meds this morning.
No painkillers?
Not today. I mean, I got to get all the air.
Yeah,
I can't, you know, I can't risk being loopy. I mean, I've got a bunch of Advils here to get me through the day, but I would recommend this, man. I'll tell you this. And Tiki knows, and a lot of people deal with this. So I just had a microdiscectomy L5-S1, mm-hmm. All right? And what happened was, and I showed these guys, it's the most grotesque thing you could ever. How nasty was that thing?
And it was enormous.
That I sent you guys.
I'm thinking you're getting like a little bit of your vertebrae shaved just so it's not pinching your nerve. And you're using this thing that looks like the size of a baseball.
That's what I thought was going to happen. But he went in there and it was a pretty large herniation. But more specifically and more daunting is that it was so wrapped around and impinged around the nerve that... You know, the doctor said, how did you do this for 10 months? I said, well, I don't know, because I'm a warrior / idiot. And so a lot of people really do suffer from sciatica.
Yeah.
And I've been dealing with this back, you know, a million baseball swings through college and a million bad golf swings and all that stuff and lifting and trying to hang in there. If you have sciatica and this is my public service message for the day. The moment that I opened my eyes Monday night after surgery, while my back is screaming because they go through tissue and that's what hurts now, mm-hmm. The sciatica, 100% gone.
Immediately.
Yeah, I told Sandra, immediately. It's like I got dealt. It's like I was playing poker,
yeah.
And I got, you know, nine bad hands in a row, and I got a couple of, a pair out of the chute or a pair of aces.
Well, I'm glad
you're
back.
Feels so different.
I'm glad you're back, because I was getting tired of talking to myself. I told Sandra.
No, trust me. I hate not working, but I physically couldn't do it.
No, you had to.
Couldn't do it, but we're back. I might wince. You know, I don't know. I haven't really sat up for this long since the surgery, but let's roll, man. Listen, I'll tell you this. Between Michael Porter's injury,
mm-hmm.
okay, and how certain teams view that and the mm-hmm. risk associated with that, between the vast spectrum in the way that Trae Young is viewed, either Steph Curry or a bust, I mean, it really is all over the map. The fact that you have a single team with back-to-back picks at 12 and 13, pretty prime slot,
right.
In the Clippers, which could very well, you know, facilitate a trade.
Yep, move up.
They could actually package two and jump up. Mm-hmm. They could package one and drop back. I think one of the most intriguing European prospects ever. That's certainly not a really original thought with Doncic. And the fact that the Grizzlies appear so motivated to get out of this four spot. With the added complexity of trying to attach Chandler Parsons' contract to it, without being hyperbolic in the first 5 minutes back, I think this might be the most intriguing draft in over a decade.
Well, for a lot of reasons it is, BT. We've had this conversation about what the NBA is in these days. It's a guard league. You got to have guys who can handle the ball, who can shoot, first of all, and then also distribute and be creators. And let's face it, there's not a bunch of them in this lottery, right? There's not, or at least the projected lottery. There's not a ton of them that you look at and say, oh, man, this guy is great. Oh, this guy is going to be a fantastic shooter. Oh, this guy is going to be a great creator for whatever team he goes to. Other than Trae Young, none of those guys have done it. And I haven't seen Doncic enough to know whether or not he's going to be that or not. Probably, but who knows,
mm-hmm.
Just from what we read. But it's all big men, BT, and big men who are good, but they're 18, 19 years old who haven't had to develop a shot, right? Uh-huh. When they were in AAU at 6'10 or 7 feet tall, like DeAndre Ayton is, they're not being asked to, hey, move away from the basket and take that shot, practice that shot, get down low, dunk it, back into the rim, do whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the talent, which is very talented, I'm not taking anything away from them, doesn't fit what the NBA does right now. And so a lot of these teams, talking about the Grizzlies, obviously talking about the Suns, these teams at the top of the draft, they like the talent, I believe, but they don't actually know what they're getting. And if the Kings end up taking a guy who, after a year, is has a bacchiotomy like BT and is jacked up, I mean, this could be one of the great drafts of all time, or it could be one of the worst of all time. And very rarely do you get that kind of dynamic.
There's really the amount of volatility in every direction it's palpable.
Yep.
Which is what makes it fun. I mean, there's going to be trades. And I think we say that every year.
Yep.
But I think it's worth circling back to the fact that the Clippers have 12 and 13. They're going to get calls all night.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll tell you this. I think the most wild DeAndre, and we had DeAndre Ayton on the show. We were out there in the Final Four, San Antonio. And
yeah.
The interview began a little rough. and then he really opened up, and we really liked him.
I really did like. I enjoyed having conversations with him. Because he's about basketball.
Yep.
And he wants to talk basketball, the X's and O's and the details and how can improve his game. He wasn't just a young kid that's happy to be where he's about to go,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of kids are just happy to be there.
I feel like it's changed, though.
I
feel like the business of basketball has kind of, you know, permeated the lives of the truly elite prospects at such an earlier age now.
True.
They're so aware of contracts and sneakers and what they can get out of the sport monetarily.
Yeah.
But there's a deeper awareness.
I contrast this to a kid that we talked to yesterday, Zaire Smith from Texas Tech. Athletic stud, but talking to him, you can tell he wasn't expected to be a lottery pick.
No.
Right?
He might not be.
He might not be, but he'll be in the top 20.
No doubt.
Right? But he was a afterthought even on Texas Tech. Oh, maybe this guy will turn into a player. He develops into a one-and-done kid. He's fantastic as an athlete. But when we talked to him yesterday, you could tell he's not aware. You know what I mean? He's not in position like DeAndre Ayton was when we talked to him at the Final Four, where he understands what he's stepping into and he knows what he has to work on. He was just kind of like, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to get drafted.
So basically what you're saying is you had to ask the questions and then answer the questions for him.
Yes, basically.
Lonzo Ball-ish.
It was a short interview.
But
you know what I mean?
Like, those are tough.
There's a bunch of kids that are not like him in this year's draft. They're aware. But I still don't think they're aware of what they're gonna face when they get to the NBA level.
Well, I'll tell you this: the name, and we all know him, and we all watched him. And I don't know specifically, and we could kind of get into this now. I don't know specifically where you sit on Trae Young, but I think that there's two ways to view Trae Young through the eyes of a team that needs an infusion of an elite player, elite talent, due to a dearth of talent, like the Kings, or that's in the top 10 or 11 somewhere in that neighborhood for the draft, or a team that is more in the business of finding a real solid complementary piece, maybe like Philly at number 10, that doesn't need somebody to step on the court and deliver at the box office right away and deliver 20-plus points. Are you a Trae Young guy?
I became an anti-Trae Young guy as the season went on. But then as I looked at it after the season and started reading up about him and how teams played him, it started to make sense why he struggled. Because the attention was enormous on him early on. Remember, we were saying he was going to average 35 points and 14 or so rebounds for the season. It was an untenable grind that he was on. And defenses quite literally just started to take him out of the game, right? Just shut him down. And nobody else is going to do anything else, to hurt you. Just shut down Trae Young. And he said that once, and I was like, just stop being a baby. Shut up. Be a star, right? Succeed despite them trying to stop you. But then you realize, this kid, Trae Young's not LeBron. He's not 6'8 and, 220 pounds. He's 6'2 maybe, and 170-something pounds. He's frail. Mm-hmm. And so I started to realize that, you know, there was the attrition of the season. You always hear me talk about this in football, but it also pertains to basketball. The attrition of the season caught up to him. And so it let me forgive the shortcomings that he had at the end of the year. Now, do I like him as a high pick? Only for a team that has tons of assets already there. Like, if you're telling me Trae Young's going to come in and be your bell cow, he's going to be your Steph Curry, then I think it's the wrong pick.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me he's going to come in and we have this piece and this piece and this piece, and once we stick this kid over here who can drop it like it's hot, then
drop it like son.
then I'll take him. So it's a dichotomy. It depends on where he gets picked.
Yeah, it really does. And usually I don't get too wrapped up in, you know, like I guess it's frustrating. You hear this a lot from, you know, people who, and I tweeted this morning. It is amazing to me how many people, you know, really the first time they get into the college hoop season is like maybe a week before Selection Sunday.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden they're delivering these soliloquies on TV and radio about what kind of prospect this guy's going to be. You didn't even watch him the season. You know nothing about the kid except it's a regurgitation of what others that actually know what's going on have told you. But that aside, I don't get too wrapped up in, well, I wouldn't take him at 4. I'm just throwing numbers out.
Yeah.
But I think he might fit at 8. If the kid's going to be a player, take him.
Yeah,
it really shouldn't matter to me. But here's what worries me about Trae Young. And let me be very specific about my critiques and why I would not draft him at all. His greatest skill is his ability to score. Mm-hmm. We know that. But the license that he was granted in college to get hot and then to stay hot, he will never have that latitude in the NBA.
Good point.
So outside of Jimmer Fredette, now at least, and you've heard that comparison a little bit, but I do, at least Jimmer's conference was weak.
Yeah.
I mean, the Big 12 is awesome. I mean, the Big 12 is, now Oklahoma stinks, mm-hmm. besides Trae Young. but really, they didn't have a whole lot around
them. Exactly, which is why you could double, you know, rotate, triple. You couldn't do anything. Nobody else could do anything else.
And there's something to be said for that, but if he thinks, and I'm not saying that he thinks mm-hmm. this, but you have to think about this from a personnel point of view. He's not going to get the ball on day one of camp and come out and start jacking up 24 shots without repercussion.
No.
That's the first issue. Number one, he's, as you said, he's really slight. He's a 170. The moment he steps on the court, they will target him in switches and they will abuse him on defense. I can't draft this kid.
Yeah, no, it's hard to.
I can't draft him.
Unless he's an accent piece. That's the only time. But who?
And Sixers. Like if they lost J.J. Redick.
Exactly.
You know, in free agency.
But other than
bomb away, you're wide open.
So
go
unless
get him.
It's a good team that has a top pick, it doesn't make sense. Because if you have a top pick, you generally don't have a ton around you.
Agreed.
A ton else there.
I mean, I'm hearing Atlanta loves him at 3. I think the Hawks are nuts if they take him at 3. He's 6'1", 170.
Yeah.
And he's not a supreme athlete, Deke.
No.
He's not
He's a really good shooter.
He is. And he's got great court vision. I don't want to be unfair to the kid.
Yes.
He sees the court well. I don't know. Listen, if I'm a GM and I got to get my team ready, Trae Young's not my guy.
Yeah.
He's just not. I'm sorry.
And the Hawks defense, they want to trade down to get him. They want to trade out
mm-hmm.
and hope that they fall down. But I it's hard to disagree with your critique, BT, because there's too many question marks about his size, about his ability to be that scorer. We've seen this, right? You've seen these great scorers in college. Buddy Hield's a perfect example. Last year, great scorers in college who can't make the transition. Now, mm-hmm. I think Trae Young, interesting, is a better athlete than Buddy Hield is, so maybe he can create his own shot, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to draft in the lottery with I don't know attached to it.
There's a lot of sizzle there. Yeah. I don't know what kind of substance you get with Trae. Now, listen, you can rewind this tape in 3 years, and he's suddenly 9 or 10 pounds, and we look like dopes. That's my read today, and I'm going to stick by it. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show on a Thursday draft tonight. All sorts of scenarios. Let's get into a couple things coming up next here on the show, Tiki. Number one is Kawhi Leonard.
Mm.
And now it's leaking out that he straight up told Pop, trade me.
Yep.
So what do the Spurs do off of that alleged conversation? And secondly, the biggest variable in the draft besides Trae Young, Michael Porter's back. Wow. What a the war room discussions on that. We'll get into it. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour as well. Draft night should be awesome. Your calls, your tweets, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Working up a sweat when you're out on the field, that's one thing. It's actually a really good thing. It means you're healthy. But breaking into a sweat when you're in your car is another. If you turn on the AC in your vehicle and hot air comes out, it takes some serious steps to get it corrected. So get your vehicle to the coolest place in town, O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and while your car's AC may eventually need professional repairs, O'Reilly Auto Parts has what you need to make it through the hottest months of the summer. Summer can be bad enough, so there's no reason to drive around and look like you just stepped out of a sauna. It's going to be hot for a good while, but if it's cool, there's a good chance Murray makes it and O'Reilly Auto Parts has it in stock. Everything from refrigerants to Murray AC compressors. So not only do you get what you need to make your ride cool and comfortable, you get it with great service, great parts, and guaranteed low prices. Don't let summer spoil your cool. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, 22 minutes past the hour. NBA draft tonight, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Michael Porter, boy, I'd love to hear the conversations and the tones and the questions and all the things are going to surface.
Yeah, man.
In the various war rooms. Oh, man. His, you know, my concern about Porter, everything that's referenced is, you know, he was the best high school player.
Mm-hmm.
He was this. Yeah. He was that. And that's true. But as we know, the rankings aren't always, you know, always commensurate
yeah.
with.
Yes.
Exactly. Just like.
The next step up.
Well, who did you have on yesterday again?
Zaire Smith.
Yeah, he was the 194th recruit.
He
didn't even make ESPN Top 100.
No, not at all.
He was a top 20 pick.
He was a three-star recruit.
Three-star recruit.
And now he's going to be picked in the top 20.
It's amazing. And, you know, I keep hearing these comparisons. You know, he thinks he's half Durant. He thinks he's half that. He thinks he's half this.
Look, I love that he's comparing himself to that, and he wants to, like, aspire to be that. But to actually be that is something completely different. Like, there's just something you have to be wary of taking guys with injury histories, especially injury histories that go back to high school. Right, it was one thing when the game changes and it gets more physical, and you just aren't used to it when you're young. But when you have issue it had to have happened when he was in high school, obviously, or at least in the interim between high school and getting to college. And now at 20 years old or 19 years old, he's already got back issues
and hips. And remember, they canceled the workout.
I mean, it's a red flag, and it's mm-hmm. like a waving red flag. It's not just one that pops up, like the little thing that pops up on your screen, little boop. This is like a waving red flag.
Yeah.
Because those things don't just go away, and they don't just happen because of a freak injury. It's something wrong physiologically with his body. And that worries me about him.
It terrifies me. You know he's not going one. You know he's not going two.
Yeah, King's got to go Bagley, right?
I would think so. Or Doncic. I mean, you know, one of the two, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't think the Hawks can roll the dice on Porter. Memphis doesn't seem like a likely landing spot. I know Dallas loves Bamba if he's still there, if the Knicks don't make a trade. And I don't think they will, because the Knicks haven't even got – one thing about the Knicks in there, because this story came out yesterday, that the Knicks are really interested with striking a deal with Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to take back the $50 million for Chandler Parsons' contract here.
Shout out to Chandler Parsons for no reason at all.
For no reason. But they don't even have Mohamed Bamba's medical records.
Yeah.
So if they haven't gotten those yet.
Nor has Memphis.
I know that Fizdale met with Bamba, but the fact that medically the Knicks haven't taken that step tells me that they're probably not going to make that trade. I'll tell you the team that should take Michael Porter if he's there. Because they're going to have to try to hit a home run just to do something. And that's the Cavs.
Yeah.
That's the only team that I would green light in the top eight. I wouldn't even want my Knicks to take them.
Yeah.
You can't keep rolling the dice on this if you're a bad team.
Yeah.
But I mean, Cavaliers, if they lose LeBron, let's face it, he's gone.
Yeah, so they're in a rebuild. They were a formerly good team, meaning they were in the postseason and not a lottery, you know, technically a lottery pick. They traded their way into the lottery. But they're a good team that's going to face a rebuild. So if you're going to take a risk, you might as well do it now.
Because you know
you're going to sink anyways.
Yeah. I mean, you could. Now, we've seen this trend as well, and I don't love this. You know, like I just mentioned, you know, if he's there at nine, you know, I wouldn't want the Knicks to take him because there's a different set of circumstances. Like the Knicks need to entice Kristaps Porzingis with something tangible. you know, that he can at least wrap his mind around and say, okay, there's the basis, there's the structure of something interesting here. But a medical redshirt is becoming a little more prominent in the NBA. I think certain teams can afford to take that risk and that flyer.
Are the Knicks one?
No. I don't think so. I mean, unless you are absolutely convinced that he is that much better than everybody else, then I guess
I don't have that sense either.
I don't have that sense either. Yeah. I mean, remember when I was down in Florida for the St. John's for the Advocare tournament?
Yes.
And Missouri was out there along with West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I came back. I said, man, Porter's brother's really good.
Remember that? Yeah.
And I said they were going to be an NCAA tournament team, and they were. They were pretty good even without Michael Porter for, you know, 90%+ of the season. And I remember talking to some people around the program, and they were really worried about Porter. Like, he just got hurt, and it was a rather innocuous physical motion that forced his herniation.
Yeah, which means it was pre-existing. It was something there that they either missed or whatever, because it doesn't just happen that easily.
Usually a car accident, some sort of trauma.
Something acute?
Yes.
Or it's like degenerative, or it's degenerative and has been going on for a long time.
But not
time.
For somebody that, like, I've got the degenerative
disease.
I agree, but
that's 19. That's what I mean. He's full 70 or 18 at that point. So you're right. It's just it's a lot of questions around this kid. Who I like, actually. You know, listening to him talk, he sounds like he could be the star. Like, if he turned into a star, he could handle it. He's got the moxie and the confidence and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, all that is fine and dandy. Physically, you have to be available. That's where the question is, and I'm not high on taking guys who have physical questions.
Well, he's high on himself. Check out what he told our buddy DA, Damon Amendola. Check it out. Michael Porter, an interesting comparison. Here he is.
I'm a mix of Giannis and KD. You know, I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people a little more physical than KD, but, you know, I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to. And then also Tracy McGrady. I get compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot, too. You know, those are three amazing players, so it doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them.
In the same conversation? You put yourself in the conversation.
We're not putting you in there, buddy. We don't even know if you should go in the top 10. Dr. J, want to give a little shout-out to Jerry West? I mean, you want to throw something out? I mean, is this guy kidding me? First of all, Giannis can literally, if he wanted to jump up and scrape a planet,
you're right.
I think that he could touch Mercury.
Yeah.
Giannis, I think that he could touch Mercury.
When he brings the ball up the court, it's... three steps after half court, and he's at the rim.
And Kevin Durant is the most unique scorer in the history of the NBA.
I know.
And, come on.
Tracy McGrady.
T-Mac was sick. Not real NBA fans.
I actually give him credit.
T-Mac was awesome.
I actually give him credit for pulling that reference, because the current crop of players, a lot of them, I mean, they maybe know who he is, but they probably don't know how.
Oh, so you appreciate his old skin?
Yeah,
that's true.
His old school, you know. Reach
reference
back.
for the history of the game.
Yeah, his reach back.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because he was
doesn't
really,
mean he's right.
He had to be really young though when Tracy McGrady.
That's true. Doesn't mean he's accurate.
No,
he probably played him on the video games. There you go.
But I do want to give him credit. I don't want to like knock him completely. I give him credit for pulling out T-Mac.
What else was interesting? Barkley it was all over Doncic, right? He just basically abused him. Play this cut. Barkley said this. This is on the Scott Pollard podcast. We had Scott on the show a couple times, right? Here's Charles, who is just, I don't think he's a big fan of Doncic, right? Here he is.
I don't trust the foreign competition. I have nothing against foreign players. I just don't know what type of competition.
Oh,
and they're like,
point.
At 18 years old, he was the MVP. Well, that tells me he played against competition. Nobody at 18 should be dominating grown men. Yeah. I said, I don't care how bad the grown men are.
All right. Listen, you know, like you, I love Charles.
Yeah.
He's the most entertaining. I love him. But he comes across as incredibly misinformed
in that take, he does.
It's the second best league in the world,
but it is
Charles.
Interesting how he positions that.
No, but do a modicum of research, Charles.
I mean, that's part of
his appeal, I guess, just saying crazy things.
Well,
It's the second best league in the world.
He's talking like an American... NBA fan who just doesn't watch this.
Yeah, it's 1989.
He doesn't even care.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Who is this guy, Dirk? We don't trust this big German guy.
Hey, we don't let big men shoot in this league. You better learn how to play with his back to the basket.
These guys are soft. Come on, Charles.
Yeah, it was funny, though.
You got to modernize your take on the game
though.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's funny, though.
It is funny, but the global game is, I mean, it's, I mean, we don't have to waste time on this.
No.
It's phenomenal. I mean, now, he's not a great athlete, Doncic. But he is 6'8", and you see the highlights. He's yoked on, you know, a couple times in traffic. He'll pull it back, and he'll stuff it in your face. Great court vision. The one guy, and we're going to play this coming up, when we had DeAndre Ayton at the Final Four, and we referenced this before, you know, like his view of himself, it's a little more measured than Michael Porter. But I'm not even convinced that Ayton is the lock that a lot of people position him to be. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. I got to get used to reading all this stuff here. Shake off the medication. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so we've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up. It's a good set of questions. Santer, nice diverse things to tackle there. Football at the 40s, hour number 2. Sean Devity from the Sporting News, hour number 3. Your calls and tweets throughout. We'll get the update. Jay Berman, Yankees. How about the Yankees? The Yankees.
They just crush home runs.
It's amazing.
Every day we do.
The Yankees try to stay hot. Good game in the Bronx, but a good Seattle team. So Jay's got that and the rest of the stuff. Berman's update, inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here's Jay. Okay. Great field. Headed to Cromwell, Connecticut to take on TPC River Highlands, fresh off his impressive win. U.S. Open champ Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, plus some big hitters trying to bounce back, including Rory, who shot an 80 at Shinnecock. Well, a lot of guys, you know, didn't play well. Rory's in Connecticut. Jason Day's out there, defending champ Jordan Spieth as well, who hold out a bunker shot last year for the W. The Travelers Championship, good event. Very. Mm-hmm. This has morphed into a. It was very at one point. It was kind of an under the radar event.
It's sneaky.
It's big now. And it's coming up all weekend on CBS. You know, quickly on Brooks Koepka, and we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds here in a sec. Obviously, I didn't get to weigh in on the golf at all. The whole thing with Mickelson was crazy. I know that you exhausted that, so I don't really need to get to that.
But Colin Montgomery on, who was, was a friend.
Yeah. Where's that scotch at?
Yeah, you need it right now.
I'll take a little sample. And Brooks Koepka, the only thing about Brooks Koepka, and this is going to sound unintentionally and unnecessarily harsh.
Go ahead.
He's boring.
Oh, of course.
He is.
Doesn't smile.
Boring.
Doesn't react.
But like just so mundane. I mean,
he had a two-putt on 18 to win it. All he had to do was two-putt it, right?
Yeah.
Lags it up, puts it in.
Yeah.
Didn't even really do that.
He's boring.
It was like, dude, you just won a back-to-back U.S. Open. Celebrate.
Which just I know.
It's weird, man.
Right? He's
you.
Boring.
I hear you.
Just
hear
not
you.
A lot of energy emits from. Now, he crushes the ball.
Yeah.
And he's got the short game to match, and he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's had a little bit of a shaky year, but Brooks Koepka, and you follow golf like Teak and I follow golf. You know that Brooks Koepka, I mean, this is not an accident.
No.
He has superstar qualities.
I talked about this on Monday.
But he's boring.
He's boring, but he's mentally tough.
Oh, no question about it.
Which is what you have to have when the conditions are as crazy as they are. And he doesn't have the creative shots like Phil or any of these other guys.
True.
Who can get out of trouble at tough places like Augusta, et cetera. But if it's just wide-ass open, like it is out there in the open, usually at the opens, and you can bomb it off the tee where he was 7th, I believe, in driving distance. And if you get in trouble, you can just hammer it out of the rough and putt. He one putted so many holes, BT.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you win a U.S. Open. I just don't know if it translates to some of the other majors.
We'll see. I would be surprised, although with his prodigious talents, maybe we should never say this, but because we didn't think Phil would win the Open Championship. Where, you know, in England, Scotland, generally you play the ball lower on the ground, those, you know, those check shots and everything.
Just let it run, man.
Yeah. But if he can tee it up and just let it go and sail it, I mean, Brooks Koepka could beat anybody anywhere. But they're a little boring for my taste.
Agreed.
You
celebrate,
know?
Man. Just
listen, I would be going crazy if that was me. I mean, forget about it. I'd be going out of my mind. All right, you ready for inbounds, out of bounds, Steve?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, and inbounds, out of bounds brought to you by Discover Card. Stressing over college costs? Well, Discover Card student loans offer great rates, zero fees, plus a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com. Limitations apply. All right, you ready to roll? Let's get into it. Good questions here from Samther. And we start. This is an interesting one out of the chute.
I had to think about this one.
So did I. Former number one overall pick Jameis Winston dealt with multiple off-field issues in college, as we know. He was always in the news cycle for the wrong reasons. And was accused of sexually assaulting an Uber driver back in 2016. That emerged somewhat recently. Now the Bucs quarterback is reportedly preparing for the league to levy a suspension based on that incident. He's never finished in the top 10 yards or top 13 in quarterback rating. So those metrics, he has not really, isn't really pop yet there in his three seasons, while the record isn't too good either. He's 18-27 as a starter. So, in or out, Winston has been a disappointment so far in his career.
Yeah, you know, this was hard for me, BT, I tried to think about Jameis Winston being the leader of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and not looking at the skill around him or his failure to connect with D-Jack or et cetera. But when I came down to it and backed up and looked at the numbers and the mistakes, I have to say inbounds. He has been a disappointment. Think of it as his counterpart, Marcus Mariota. He got the Tennessee Titans to the postseason, and they had some issues over the years. Jameis has had his issues as well, but a lot of them are self-inflicted. You can look at the interception numbers and the touchdown comparisons, et cetera. His completion percentage has gone up a little bit. But BT, last year, 15 fumbles he had. Eesh, 15.
That's a lot.
That is a whole lot. I think it led the league. I mean, so when you do, as a quarterback, when you're careless like that and you put your team in positions to lose, I got to say you're a disappointment, especially because it's such contrast to what we thought he was going to be after his initial intro to the Buccaneers team as their leader. He took it the reins right away, but it hasn't always translated on the field.
It's a tough one for me, too. I'm gonna take a different position. I would say out of bounds here for a couple of reasons. I'm happy that you mentioned Mariota. The one difference, and their styles are a little bit different, obviously. Yeah. Mariota not as reckless, although he had the four-pick game on Thursday in Heinz Field this past season, which was alarming. And he didn't really play that well this year. Threw a touchdown in the playoff game, but he didn't play too well.
Battling injury, though, that I think he kept quiet for a lot of the year.
I think you're right. And I think that speaks to a quiet toughness. Mm-hmm. Then Winston's as tough as nails as well. But Tennessee, unlike Tampa, has invested multiple first-round picks on the O-line. I think they've better insulated Mariota.
That's a good point.
Doug Martin had one good year. For the most part, he's had an absence of a running game. You know, I don't know that he's had great coaching, quite frankly. And, you know, I say out of bounds, yes. Last year, I thought that Winston would take a real leap forward, and he didn't. Now the pressure's fully on. But by the modern scoreboard, where we want everything now, microwave, what are you going to do? Are you going to go 11 wins in year two, and are you going to be in the MVP consideration right away? I still need to dial it down and say, here's a young kid who's being thrust into a real vital leadership role because there's not many leaders around him. And he hasn't drowned yet. Granted, he's not swimming, he's not getting a gold medal in the breaststroke yet, but he hasn't drowned. I still believe in Jameis. I'm a little worried after last year, but I disagree. I'm going to say out of bounds. But when you say what you say, I hear you. I hear where you're coming from.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, back to hoops. Kevin Love, highly regarded in Minnesota, averaging nearly 24 points and 14 rebounds in his last 4 years. Largely hollow numbers, but he did put them up with T-Wolves. Right. They were never good. During his 4 years in Cleveland, however, Love just 17 points and 10 rips a night as a secondary figure while playing just 67 games a year because of many injuries here. Despite that, the Cavs came out earlier this week and said they would like to retain the 29-year-old Love regardless if LeBron leaves or not. In or out, if LeBron were to leave, having Kevin Love as the Cavs' focal point on offense would be wise.
I'm going to say this is inbounds, BT, for the simple reason if LeBron leaves, we've heard that the Cavaliers are shipping everybody out. And so it's a relative focal point. Not a focal point like this is the guy that's going to lead us to a championship, but this is a guy who, when you bring in young players, as you're going to have to do when you're rebuilding in a sense and draft, you're going to be bad for a couple of years, drafting guys and bringing in some of these players who are learning how to play the game. You need a guy who does things the right way and works the right way, and Kevin Love is that guy. So a focal point, but not relative to this guy's going to win a championship for us, relative to we need a vet to teach our young guys how to play.
I'm going to disagree again. I'm going to say out of bounds only because and good points. I feel you on that. But they have to draft somebody tonight that's going to be eventually the undisputed leader of the team if LeBron leaves, or if when LeBron gets old.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually LeBron's going to be gone.
You're right.
In some shape or form, right? And Kevin Love's not going to command the double team. He's just not that. You don't react to him that way anymore.
No.
You know, you can body him up a little bit in the post, although he's obviously good. And, of course, we know he can stretch and hit threes as a stretch four, even though he doesn't like playing the five. And I believe for the overall rebuilding of this team, you'd be better positioned to have a more explosive, dynamic focal point to the offense that's less predictable because it would make life easier for the others. I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't like Kevin Love. Kevin Love gets unnecessarily knocked around. He's a good player, but I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, last night, Giancarlo Stanton, little walk-off. That ball was a late. That didn't get off the ground much. You know, that ball was crushed.
He's had a couple of those this year.
Seriously. It does. I mean, he broke the scoreboard in Miami last year or 2 years ago.
But
remember
the ball
that?
Gets to the fence before. I mean, if the guy was there,
it's crazy.
You know what I mean?
I know
he could
exactly
probably rob
mean.
It, but it gets there so fast, you can't get to it.
It's like they show you on CBS the apex of a golf shot.
Yeah.
Like his apex of his home runs are very low.
I know.
They just don't go high. But anyway, he hit a big bomb, walk off in the ninth over Seattle. But the Yankees prized offseason acquisition is hitting 255, which is 30 points lower than a year ago. He's got 18 home runs, and he's on pace for about 18 fewer than a year ago when he had almost 60. And just the 47th best OPS right now while striking out a ton. In or out, Stanton's inaugural season in the Bronx has been a disappointment.
This is
so
an easy
far.
One. Out of bounds, man. He's part of a murderer's row of hitters. He doesn't have to be the all-everything player like he was last year. All he's got to do is be consistent in hitting RBIs. Already got 42 on the year. Mm-hmm. And bang home runs when you pitch to. And, yeah, the strikeouts are coming, but he understands that I can strike out now because of what's around me. So this is out of bounds for me.
Totally agree. I think it's out of bounds as well. Although his first game in Toronto, he was really good with a couple of home runs.
True.
But, I mean, his first game in the Bronx, I mean, he was booed off the stadium. He struck out 13 times, basically, in one game. It was ugly. Listen, what is not factored in, and this is just a lack of baseball intellect or attention to detail, he changed leagues. He needs to get a book on opposing pitchers. Now, quite frankly, it's also a two-way street.
Of course.
So you could say on some instances he might have an advantage because pitchers don't necessarily know what he's vulnerable to. But new stadiums, New York, the pressure. He's going to hit 40 home runs with his eyes shut if he stays healthy. The Yankees have won 70% of their games. They're flowing, out of bounds. It's fine.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Mike Trout. Oh, my Mike Trout is just...
D-cell special just, here.
Is this a D-cell one?
It's a D-cell special.
D-cell. All right, so Mike Trout, couple of MVPs, and he's finished second three times already in just 6 years of service. Now, he's just ripping it up this season. He's hitting an insane almost 700 over... I mean, this is Little League. This is crazy. 700 over his last eight games and leading the league in runs, homers, walks, on base, slugging, OPS, and he's on pace for the highest single-season WAR in Major League history. Over his career, Trout already has 224 home runs, 600-plus ribbies, 1,100-plus hits, and an OPS of nearly 1,000 with a WAR higher than Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, and Hank Aaron through their first 7 years. This depends. This is a good question, but it depends on where you stand on this. And not because we all know he's great.
Yeah.
In or out, if Trout retired today, he would be a Hall of Famer.
Man, this is a hard one. If this was any other sport, I'd say inbound, but it's baseball. And if the accumulation of statistics in baseball demand me say this is out of bounds.
Wow.
He's got to get some requisite numbers, right? 300 home runs and... get closer, at least 2,000 hits. Even if he's dominant, wins another MVP, he's got to get some of those requisite numbers.
Wow.
This is all about not disrespecting him for the great player that he is, because he's unbelievable. He's either winning in the MVP or he's in the top two or three.
Every single season.
Every year. He could legitimately win it every year.
Yep.
And he might win it this year.
Last year was four, though.
But
every other year, one or two, you're right.
Yeah, he was hurt a lot, though, last year.
No
doubt. Missed a lot of time. But, I mean...
Look at you going old school. So you want to see the benchmark numbers is what you're saying.
Only because I've become to appreciate baseball, you know?
Okay, I can respect that.
Before I did the show with you, I would have said, yeah, put his ass in, man. Yeah. He's awesome.
All right. Okay. I love baseballreference.com.
Yeah.
Like most real ardent baseball fans. And I love one thing, aside from the actual stats, they have a similarity score. which is toward the bottom of the page, like right above where the contracts are. And a similarity score basically is a nice comparison through the same age of the player.
Yeah.
All right. Where he is with his peers now and where he lines up against other greats. And right now, his similarity score is comparable to Frank Robinson, okay, Hank Aaron, Ken Griffey Jr., and Mickey Mantle. I hear you on needing baseball as a sport of longevity.
Wow.
I mean, doesn't that say a lot? But this guy is the best player on the field every single night, and he's basically been that since the moment he stepped on the field 7 years ago. I say inbounds. Even though I'm usually a stickler for the benchmarks, he's that great and he's that unique. Inbounds for me.
Good question.
Yeah, that was good.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I can't roll with any sort of figure today.
Listen to our producer. I try to give D-Cell credit. Samta goes, well, I wrote it. It was D-Cell's idea, but I wrote it. Come on, Samter.
We got to get to the story about you getting the baseball. I know that you probably hit this on. I got to have a little fun with this a little bit. Guy gets a baseball at the Yankees. Did you guys talk about this on here at length?
We did. He gave it to his father.
Well, he better give it to his father. Who else is he going to give it to?
He gave it back to me, though.
Did he really? All right, hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.